you wish to follow along, of course, Romans chapter 8 again. I will read a couple verses. I will begin with a couple verses that I dealt with, or at least one verse that I dealt with last week, and then we'll move on a little in the context here. Romans chapter 8, and let me read verses 5 through 14. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And remember, as I tried to point out last week, this is a statement of fact. This is the way it is. This is not how fleshly men sometimes mind. This is how they always mind. They cannot but mind the things of the flesh. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And let me reiterate again, lest I forget to do it later. Remember, the flesh, most people think of the flesh. When the Bible talks about the flesh, of course we think of this, you know, our bodies, skin, that thing. But some understand it means this sinfulness that we are, this corruption that we are. But most people think of the flesh as immoral things. But sadly, they think of it as immoral things only. Mm-hmm. Now, immoral things are the flesh. Do not misunderstand me. But some moral things may be the flesh too. Because morals change. Morals change. I mean, years ago, you know, and I know people can argue and fuss about it and all of that, but you know, years ago, if you were a female and you got into the public to go to a beach, I mean, you had to pretty much still cover yourself completely, didn't you? I mean, it was law. It ain't the same. It ain't that today. No. It ain't close to that today. Today it's about to get away with as least amount of fabric as you can get away with. And I'm not meaning to preach on that. Even religion can be the flesh.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, even religion can be the flesh. Dare I say it? Even Calvinism can be the flesh.
You're right.
So let me go on. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. That's what they do. But they that are after the Spirit, they mind. I'll put that in there, but that's the whole meaning of it. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. They're not perfect.
No.
They are not sinless.
No.
But even when they're sinning, they cannot not mind the things of the Spirit.
You're right.
They still know God.
Exactly.
They still think about God.
Yes, sir.
Huh? They still think about Jesus Christ. So you get what Paul's saying here. For to be carnally minded is death. And that's not physical death. That's spiritual death.
Yes, sir.
If you're carnally minded, you're unregenerate.
Yeah.
You're unconverted. You are not saved.
That's it.
It's clear. And let me tell you something. Paul doesn't abandon that truth in the rest of these verses we're reading.
That's right. That's right.
For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now you don't come up, you don't muster up a spiritual mind.
Exactly.
And then God gives you life and peace. God gives you a spiritual mind. Mm-hmm. He freely bestows it upon you in regeneration and conversion by the gospel. And then you experience that life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be.
That's right.
So I will add this in. Stop trying to get your flesh to keep the law.
You're right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Now I dare not, I am not saying try to disobey God's law. God says, honor your mommy and your daddy. Honor your mommy and your daddy.
Yes, sir.
Right? It says, thou shalt not steal. Then don't steal.
Exactly.
But the gospel goes even further for us. Mm-hmm. Because some of us have stolen already.
Exactly.
And we can't change that. We can't do enough good to negate that in God's sight.
Right, exactly.
So the gospel comes along and lets us know through Jesus Christ, let him that stole steal no more.
That's right.
I like that.
Amen.
I need that, because all of I hear is thou shalt not steal. I'm a goner.
Already. Yeah.
I'm a goner. Let's move on, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
Amen.
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now there's the caveat.
Yeah.
You see, that's the caveat. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
Amen.
And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now we'll, Lord willing, look at this in a moment. And those of you who are live streaming are fortunate. It's a little late, I understand, but I'm not going to rush through all this. So run and get you a snack real quick. Here's my title before I read any further. Dead body, spiritual mind.
Amen.
Dead body, spiritual mind. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors. We are debtors, I'm sorry. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh.
Amen.
For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. Mm-hmm. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Amen.
And I will preface this in case, because it's in my notes, but, and nobody else.
That's right. Yeah.
And nobody else. If you're not led of the Spirit of God, you're not a child of God.
Amen.
So then, having said that, again, dead body, spiritual mind. Being in Christ, being vitally united to Christ by God, is an inward work of God by the Spirit. We all know that here. Those listening to me live stream probably already know that as well. But let me say this. God does not work on the outside and gradually start to work toward the inside. That's what religion thinks. And let me try to explain that. They think, it's like this, God kind of works on you. He works on you. He comes and gives you some conviction. You get under Spirit conviction and then you do something out here. You come forward, you pray, you pray the sinner's prayer, you believe, you whatever, you baptize, you join the church, whatever. You repent of your sins, you ask for forgiveness, whatever. And then this work then starts to work, at least starts to work inside. That is a lie.
Yeah, you're right.
God invades the inside.
Amen.
God implants. Imparts spiritual life first.
Amen.
The spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That kind of life in Christ Jesus that makes one free from the law of sin and death. So God works inside. He invades inside. God by his Spirit and his gospel invades the mind first. The mind first. Now we can talk about heart and mind, and we often separate them, but they we're not talking about the brain per se and the muscle that pumps the blood per se. We're talking about that innate or that inner ability that God creates, that new man that's created in us that has a new heart and a new mind. And that's why Paul calls these spiritual people, these people who are born of the Spirit of God, spiritually minded.
Yes, that's right.
Spiritually, they mind spiritual things.
Exactly.
And I will go so far, they can't help it.
Yeah, you're right.
They can't help it because they're led by the Spirit of God.
Exactly.
They're led by the Spirit of God. So God, by his gospel, invades the mind first. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, that means you're dead.
Exactly.
But if you're spiritually minded, that means there's life and there's peace there.
Amen.
There's peace there. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. In other words, verse 7, Paul is saying this. The carnal mind's legal enmity is the opposite of the spiritual mind.
Yes, sir.
And the spiritual mind does not attempt to keep the law by the flesh, through the flesh, in the flesh.
Yeah.
It understands, the spiritual mind understands that by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in God's sight.
Amen.
That's what the spiritual mind knows.
Yes, sir.
The carnal mind is totally opposite. The carnal mind says, I'll give it my best shot. At least my best shot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll give it my best shot. But it's not subject to the law of God. A spiritual man's mind is subject to the law of God. It doesn't say he keeps the law of God. And I know people can antinomy and all they will. I don't care what they want to call me. Call me what you will.
Yeah.
But the spiritual mind loves God's law.
Amen.
Look at what Paul, we've already seen what Paul, I delight in the law of God after the inward man.
Amen.
And I would keep it.
Yes, sir.
The will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Because we know, according to law, we are to do it with all of our being.
Exactly.
And we've got a part of that all of our being is called the old man, and he will not bow.
Exactly.
He will not bow. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But you're not in the flesh. You see it? But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now what I want to dwell on is this last phrase of that verse for a moment. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. An astounding statement.
Yes, sir.
Now the Spirit's going to be in us. There's a real sense in which our brothers and sisters during the Old Testament dispensation often had the Spirit of God with them. Mm-hmm. And even our Lord said this to his disciples during his sojourn here on the earth. The Spirit of God's with you, but he's going to be what? In you.
Amen.
And he is dwelling in God's
Amen.
People. Now, so that's a fact. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none his. Now let me just say this. This is not a rejection of eternal election, as there are some who are prone to try to say.
Mm-mm.
No. You don't take one truth of the Scripture and try to play it against another truth of the Scripture.
No, you're right.
If there seems to be any contradiction, the problem's up in here and here.
You're right.
It's not in here.
Exactly.
This is not a negation of eternal election. It is this. It is no ownership because there is no vital union to Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God.
That's it.
A person can be elect, but that don't mean they're saved,
yeah.
regenerated,
yeah.
and converted.
Exactly.
But if you are elect, God must. Not because of necessity on his part, but because it's his sovereign purpose. God Almighty in time will regenerate you and convert you and put his Spirit within you.
Amen.
This verse here lets us know this idea of some, that there are people out there that are elect and they're never regenerated, they're never converted. They just wake up in glory one day. It ain't so.
Exactly.
Because I will say this, even for children who die in the womb or young, whatever. We don't know age, and I don't have, this is thus saith Walter, not the Lord. Okay? God, there may be infants who die that God Almighty does a work of grace for them and nobody knows it.
Exactly.
And if they are saved, that's got to happen for them.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're sinners just like we are.
Right. Exactly.
Huh? You know, people that are severely retarded, mentally, you know, God will take care of all that.
Yes, sir.
But he's still got to give them life in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
But don't come to me as an adult and tell me, well, I believe I'm one of the elect based on what?
There you go, exactly.
Paul gives us the what? He lets us know. 1 Thessalonians 1, 4 through 10 mainly. I'm not going to go back and read it because of time. But he said, he told the Thessalonians, I know you're one of the elect. I know you're the elect of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's an amazing statement, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
How does he know that? He wasn't back yonder before the foundation of the world. God didn't write their names down in this book.
Yeah.
There is a book that has their names written in it.
Yes, sir.
Now there's a few of them, their names written down in this book. But not the whole horde of them.
No.
How does Paul know that? He goes and said, for our gospel came not to you in word only, but in power. And in the Holy Ghost. And in much assurance. much assurance concerning Jesus Christ. He is able, number three. That's not my title, but he is able, number three. You see, God Almighty always manifests in time that which he decreed and set his heart on in eternity.
Amen.
So away with this idea of, well, I just hope I'm one of the elect. You better hope you're a believer in Christ.
Amen.
Because he that believeth not shall be what? It starts with a D. You know what that word is? Damned. Damned. Now, contrary also to those who teach a higher Christian life. Now, let me try to explain that. And I know it varies. I know I'm kind of painting everybody with the same brush. I don't mean to do that, but basically it boils down to this. You can be saved, but you're not very devoted. You can be saved, but you're not very faithful. You can be saved, but you don't really care about the things of the Spirit. You go on through life believing in Jesus and confessing your sins, but you just basically kind of just live your life, but there's no real zeal and, you know, energy there. Oh, but then they teach that there comes a time when just maybe, if you're submissive enough, if you're obedient enough, if you're willing enough, then all of a sudden there's this extra breath of fresh spiritual air. And all of a sudden you become a really zealous Christian.
Yeah.
And you've never been there.
Yeah.
I ain't never been there. And those who say they've been there, I don't doubt that they've been there, but it ain't the work of the Spirit of God.
That's it.
Because God, when he comes in, he invades immediately.
Yes, sir.
Lydia didn't say, well, I believe what Paul says, but I'm going on back to Thyatira and do my thing for a while.
Yeah.
She was evidently had her a house to stay in where she was at the time. And she said, Paul,
yeah.
Y'all come be with me. Come home with me. I'm going to feed you. We're going to fellowship some.
That's right.
Right off the bat, she was spiritually what? Minded. Mm-hmm. Why? Because God opened her heart so that she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul.
Amen.
If you got a man speaking for God, you better attend to what he says.
Yes, sir. That's it.
Overlook the gender. That's not the point, though it is a man who must stand in this place publicly. Only a man. But if God gives you a man and he speaks for God, you better listen to what he says in spite of his flaws.
Sir. That's right. That's right.
In spite of his flaws. So again, contrary to those who teach this higher Christian life, the Spirit's work does not conform our bodies to righteousness. And if Christ be in you, if he is, the body is dead because of sin. Now, clearly he's not talking about physical death. We are not corpses.
Exactly.
Now, one day, if Christ doesn't come back first, we all will be corpses one day. But we're not corpses right now. So Paul's not talking here that we're walking around zombies, as zombies is the big popular thing.
Yeah.
Well, the weird thing is, zombies still have to be killed.
Yeah.
So, you know. But that's the flesh, you know. You believe what you want and make money off of it on TV. It works, you know. If they'd share some with me, I might not be so hard on them. I repent of that.
Yeah.
And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Mm-hmm. But the Spirit, and notice that is still capital S. Mm-hmm. Because let me tell you, even the new man is of no value if we don't have God himself in us guiding us. Because we'll resort to the old man always.
Yeah.
He is natural to us.
Yeah.
He's what we really are by nature. We are far more familiar with the old man than we are the new man. No, and if Christ be in you, the body's dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Let me try to give us a little thing. This is, of course, not physical death, though the word necros is what's used. But he is speaking of a spiritual or metaphorical way. It's what he's talking about. But it's not physical death, but it's subjected to spiritual death. This body is still under the curse.
Yes, sir. That's right.
God has not delivered my body and all that goes with it.
Right.
Old man, just visit my mind, my heart, my lungs, my kidneys, everything. It's still under the curse.
Yeah.
That's what Paul said. That's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And if Christ be in you, He hadn't fixed up your body. Yeah. Huh? Your body will fall apart more than likely, just like everybody else's will.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? It's not physical death, but being subjected to spiritual death. Our bodies are under the curse. Therefore, in youth, even as a saved person, we're often overzealous.
Yeah.
Why? Because the body's dead. We're overzealous.
You're right.
When we get our old age, we begin to find physical inability.
Yeah.
Unable to do, even physically, what we'd like to do for the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Hmm? Why? Because the body's dead because of sin.
Yeah.
Ah, but the spirit. The spirit's life because of righteousness. And it ain't our righteousness. Somebody says it don't say that there. No, it says it everywhere else.
That's right.
It says it everywhere else.
Yeah.
It's not our righteousness. It's God's righteousness in Christ.
Amen.
Mm. As Joe says, I like that.
And
if Christ be in you, the body's dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But, now look at it. But, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. We are not going to be bodiless beings floating around on clouds in heaven forever. We're going to have a body in which we can live and exist. And serve God and do whatever God's got purpose for us to do one day. And we're going to do it in a body that's no longer subject to death.
Amen.
Death. But if the Spirit of, in other words, if you have the Spirit of God in you, God will not leave you in a decayed body.
Amen.
Or a sack of bones or a bunch of ashes or whatever it, or in a fish's belly somewhere. Squirted out the backside. God will raise you.
Amen.
This body is not your eternal home. But you have one that's... The weird thing is, the Bible says it's prepared by God.
Yes, sir.
I can't explain that.
Exactly.
I can't explain that. I just believe, God, that it's true.
Amen.
All right, let me move on here, brother. This is just introduction. I ain't even got to the point of the message, and I'm getting hungry. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Here's the question. Who are you indebted to?
Exactly.
That's what it boils down to.
That's right. Yeah.
If it's all about you, you're lost.
Exactly.
Folks, this is exactly... Paul's not giving us decent believing, then going on to great believing. He's talking about you either believe or you don't believe.
Amen.
You're either regenerate or you're not regenerate.
Yes, sir.
You're either saved or you're lost.
That's it.
And the question here again ain't election and predestination. It does the Spirit of God dwell in you? Mm-hmm. That's the question. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Oh, here we go. Now look at this one. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die.
Amen.
He ain't lost. He ain't changing things now.
And
this ain't physical death, though some would teach this. They would then refer to the Corinthians. Because I was trained in this, my mind, when I first read this and realized, okay, I've got to deal with this, I thought, well, we talk about the Corinthians, how some of them, God had killed some of them because they were rebelling against God, right?
Yeah.
That ain't what this is talking about. Paul's not getting off on another subject in one verse and then returning back where he was.
Exactly.
He's still talking about the same thing. Now, granted, the KJV is a little difficult here. But I'm not going into all the details of that. But look what it says. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye... But then notice, through the Spirit.
Yeah.
Not through your own willpower.
That's right. Exactly.
But through the Spirit. You see it? Not through your own gumption. Not through your own zeal. Because we're in a dead body. And even if we had zeal at one time, that zeal is going to start to die. We're not going to be able to do even what we used to do.
Exactly.
I like what, and this is a side note, but it's the same thing. I like what Clay Curtis said. He said, some of us Christians think as we're getting older, we're getting maybe a little bit better, a little bit more holy because we don't care about doing the things we used to do that we knew were wrong. No, we're just getting too old to do them.
Exactly.
Ain't getting no holier.
Exactly.
probably ain't got the money to go do it.
Yeah, I do.
You understand what I'm saying? I liked what he said there. All right, let me just give you this. Now, this is loosely taken from the Amplified Bible, and the Amplified Bible's pretty good on this verse. But this is the Amplified Bible worked on by Walter Pendleton. Romans 8, verse 13. For if you conduct your life according to the dictates of the flesh, you are poised to, set to, destined to utter spiritual final ruin.
Yeah, there you go.
Because death is ruin.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You shall die, utter ruin.
Yeah.
But if you, by God's Spirit, are habitually putting to death, and I like because that's the context of everything.
Yeah.
You don't just do it one day and then you got all that fixed up and now you're okay.
Exactly.
This is it's not just an everyday battle, it's an every moment battle.
Yeah, you're right.
Yep. You know, an everyday battle. And it seems like the battle gets more difficult as you get older.
Yes, sir.
And lose some of that bodily vim and vigor.
Hmm? Yeah.
Things that used to didn't bother you at all start to bother you now.
Yeah.
But let's go back. But if you, by God's Spirit, are habitually putting to death the evil deeds prompted by your body because they are still so active in your flesh, you will actually genuinely live in Christ forever. That's what Paul's talking about there. In other words, if you're not mortifying the deeds of your body through the Spirit, you are not saved. He ain't left that theme, folks.
No, that's right.
He ain't left that theme. God's people care about how they live before God.
Yes.
And one another.
There you go.
You ever fell a brother or sister and you feel what? So you don't go, well, I thank God I'm forgiven. No, you feel miserable inside.
Exactly.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Your conscience eats at you. And eats at you. And the only thing that gives you relief is the knowledge of the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And then you go and ask for forgiveness. And you try to do better. But we're not perfect at this thing.
Exactly.
The Spirit don't just move us around like robots.
Yeah.
We are led of the Spirit. So again, let me read it one more time and I'll move on. For if you conduct your life according to the dictates of the flesh, you are poised to, set to, destined to utter spiritual final ruin. Now the reason it's even said that way is because people like this can still be saved. If God is so pleased to act upon them. Because all of us were like that because the carnal mind is enmity against God. You see? Y'all didn't know I was such a good preacher, did you? But if you, by God's Spirit, it ain't me, it's this book.
Yes, sir.
Would you just bow to the book and try to not make it to where it leaves you pretty easy? No, if it sticks you right in the eye, then deal with the poke guy.
There you go.
If it cuts you down in the heart, then deal with that. Don't run from it. Don't obfuscate from it. You may obfuscate your very soul.
Yes.
But if you by God's Spirit are habitually putting to death the evil deeds prompted by your body because they are still so active in your flesh, you will actually genuinely live in Christ forever. I like that. And like I have to give the credit to the Amplified Bible, I just modified a few things there. Why do we say that? Why does Paul say, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you're not being led by the Spirit of God to mortify, what? To mortify the deeds of the body, you do not belong to Jesus Christ in a living, saving union. That includes me as well.
Yes, sir.
Me as well. That was the introduction. I'm going to have to give you these four things and the scriptures to go with them, and you can deal with it later. Study it later. The body is to be dealt with. Paul said, I keep my body under. I bring it into subjection. So there is effort in this thing.
Yes, sir.
There is action in this thing. But it's got to be through the Spirit.
Amen.
And somebody, there's no, well, what's the key, preacher? Here's the key to be led by. And that ain't up to you. Yeah. That's up to him.
Amen.
If you're led by him, it'll show on you.
Yep.
Because when you do screw up, he'll chastise you and correct you for it.
Yeah.
And how long he does that or takes in that, that's his business.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it may be like that, and sometimes it may take a while.
Yep.
But that's his business.
But
if you're his, if his spirit's in you, his spirit is leading you. It don't say if you follow the spirit here, though we ought to follow the spirit's lead. Don't kick and buck, it'll just make it worse.
Yeah.
Hmm?
That's it.
But it's like putting a leash around a dog's neck, especially a small one, big one's a little. And you take him where you want him to go.
Yeah.
You're leading him. You see that? That's what the Spirit of God does for us. And aren't we glad? Because we would revert back to the old man and give in completely were it not for his lead.
Exactly.
So the body is to be dealt with, but it is a foe, not a friend.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a foe, not a friend. Secondly, the fleshly acts of the body are to be mortified.
Yes.
Kill them. Deaden them.
Yes.
And if they raise back up tomorrow, then start all over again. Start all over again. Don't give up, my brothers and sisters. Don't give in to the flesh, my brothers and sisters. It's far easier to be willingly led than God Almighty to force you into the dirt. So the fleshly acts of the body are to be mortified, and it is mortification by the Spirit. It is not sanctification. You can't be more sanctified than sanctified.
Right, you're right. That's it.
Now, there is ongoing sanctification, but there is only one sanctification.
Exactly.
You don't get more sanctified.
Yeah, you're right.
The holy place was never going to become the Holy of Holies.
Mm-hmm.
And the holiest of all was never going to become just the holy place.
That's right.
The holy place was as holy as it needed to be. It was exactly perfectly holy, although it was not the Holy of Holies. I don't have to explain that.
Yeah.
That's the fact of the Scripture. That candlestick didn't need to become the laver.
That's right.
It just needed to be what? The candlestick.
That's right.
That's it. And the laver, or the brazen altar, didn't need to become the Ark of the Covenant.
Exactly.
If you're in Christ, you're as sanctified as you'll ever be, other than putting down this mortal flesh and be given your new body. I don't care if Mason Lilly don't like that. You think I won't keep mentioning his name? That man turned on the gospel we preach. Called us heretics. Somebody says, do you hate him? No, I hope God does something for him.
Amen.
Thirdly, God will deal with this body one day. He'll deal with it. He's going to change, Paul said, this vile body and make it like unto his own glorious body. How? Because he's able to subject all things unto his will. Fourthly, let me say, though, we are not to totally disregard this body altogether. And I will just read that one because God willing, if we're still alive, we'll deal with that later. Chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Sounds like a conundrum, don't it?
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Never try to make everything match up all sweet. And we love to do that. We want all of our ducks in a row, don't we?
Right.
Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And that's just your reasonable service.
Exactly.
Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your body.
Mm-mm.
Mind. You see that? Because that's where it started, and that's always the source through the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Renewing of your mind that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there's my 4 points. You got that quickly today. This is not a take it or leave it proposition. We are either in one state or the other.
Yeah.
And the believer doesn't dabble over into one for a while, then come back into the other. The believer has both of these things at the same time.
That's right.
Flesh
yeah.
and spirit.
Hmm? Amen.
Now here, in the end, who's going to win? The strongest.
There you go. Yeah.
Let me tell you, the spirit of God's stronger than our flesh.
Amen.
Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Yes. Aren't you glad? We'd have given up by now.
Oh, yeah.
This wasn't of the Spirit of God.
Exactly.
So let me close this out. A man or a woman is either one or the other. Yeah. Carnal minded or spiritual minded. Yeah. But even the spiritual minded person is living in a dead body because of sin.
Yes, sir.
And it's a constant daily struggle.
Yeah.
Now, I know some folks say, well, they've taught. Well, boy, it's good to get it. It's good when you know you're in chapter 7, but ain't it great to get in chapter 8? Have you ever heard that talk?
Yeah.
I'm still feeling pretty rough about myself in chapter 8.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh?
Yeah.
The only encouragement is this. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We always are forced by the Spirit to lovingly, willingly believe Christ. Rest in Him. Trust Him. Father, we thank You for the food that's here prepared. We thank You for it. Help us to fellowship together. Just socialize together as well. Lord, be with us in Christ. Amen.